League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
KFNC, Mont Belvieu, Houston, ESPN 97.5.
That's what we call ourselves, sort of like a team.
A Gao Media Station. This is The Bench. The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Presented by Coors Light. Whatever your mountain, climb on. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Good Thursday morning, everybody. John and Dell with you this morning here on ESPN 97.5. Lance was here, but like right before the music started, he just got up and left the studio. I mean,
well, he's never prepared.
But the show is about to start. And he just gets up and walks away.
He had the wrong laptop, John.
He doesn't have a right laptop? Well, how many laptops does he have?
He's got NFL money. Two at least.
What the hell is that? Wait a minute. Why do you have... You don't know that... Wait a minute. First of all, that one says NFL draft on it, and that's pretty different than that one. How did you have the wrong one? But I know they're the same...
I don't know the... I can't remember the username on that one. That's usually just on.
Oh.
Just for some reason, I forgot the username. It's probably because I know I've got early on.
So you wait a minute.
Dementia or Alzheimer's or something. I can't remember anything.
You can't open that one because you forgot the new username.
Yeah, it's got all these passwords protected. It's NFL stuff, so I can't open that one unless I got a username.
So you'll never be able to use it again.
Well, I just got to get into my email and find out if there's my username somewhere in there. I used to know it like a month ago. Somehow I don't know it anymore. That's how my hard drive is. It's so completely cluttered that once I am Memento. Oh, I'm 100% Memento guy because I don't remember
just
anything
seconds
anymore.
Ago. You can't remember from seconds ago.
Well, like the Memento guy, he can just every day he's got to reset. It's kind of like that.
I see that.
Well, oh my God. He's just got his dumb hand up with his dumb ring on. My God.
Oh, I'm sorry. I can't hear you, Lance. It's too much ringing in my ears. Okay? I can't hear you.
Let me ask you, what was your favorite moment when you were out on the...
Have you seen it?
The baseball pitch.
Have you seen it?
This is like a heavy-ass ring. They gave this away?
That's what they gave away. No, real. Don't try not to break it.
This is real?
Yeah.
It's real fake.
It's a real fake. But
This is a pretty, like, this
no,
seems
like it's
like
a real ring. It's a real ring.
They gave all these away?
Yes.
To how many people?
40,000.
What is Jim Crane's fascination with giving away a ton of rings?
They got, well, I think that, I know for a fact they got a nice price on them. And, but
anything
listen,
more
dude,
than $2 per ring.
It was a Wednesday against Tampa, and the place it took most people hours to get in. They're standing outside in the rain. It was
what?
It took honestly. We walked up when the game had already started. The line was around the building still to get in. It was unfreaking believable. I mean the clamor for this thing. They'll probably have. You should turn the sound off.
Is there going to be any kind of, were there a bunch of tweets that, get in your seats early, people. Be there for the game. Was it like Rocket Twitter?
No, they don't
complaining
care if you're
about,
in your seats.
Okay.
They don't care there.
Checking.
No, and you couldn't get in your seat early. When the game, when we got in there, it was bottom of the first or second inning. Half the stadium wasn't in the place yet. Because it was so it took so long to get in.
Wow.
In the pouring rain.
Drayton used to give away celebrity ducks where Craig Biggio's head would be on the body of a duck.
Oh, wait till you see, though. Did you guys see last night the bobblehead that's coming out with McCann and Gattis?
No.
With the vests, the stepbrothers pose where one's sitting down.
Oh, yes. Is it really?
Oh, my God. How awesome. That is going to be, that should be better than Ring Night.
Yeah.
I'm going to put this up against, and I'll show you everybody my ring. If you're watching.
John's about to flex on the stream. This. Go to livestream.com. I actually go to our website, 97.5. Well, you're going to miss John flexing on you. But if you go to the website, hey, and I do want to say this too.
It's a nice ring.
It is a nice ring. It actually it's pretty well made. I mean, it feels like a real ring. I still am not sure about the idea of everyone getting one that doesn't ever participate, but it seems like it cheapens the ring for people who play.
Well, it's not the one the players got.
Do you think the players are like, "Hey, well, it looks like a replica. I mean, how close is it to being a replica?"
Yeah, it is. No, it's really, really good. It's really well done. Really well done. But
my dad's got one for the Super Bowl, and it looks kind of like that. Like that's the size, and it's gaudy, obviously. But when I held it, now the big difference is when I held that ring, it's heavier than that.
It's
a little bit heavier, but
it's real.
Yeah, but that's a real ring. I don't know that the. I mean, the jewels aren't the same, probably.
No. As opposed to real diamonds, you mean?
Yeah, I don't think. But, I do want to mention this, too. Depending on where you are in the city.
And they got you a holder, too, by the way.
Oh, guys. That's really good. Oh, is that mine?
No. Oh. No, it's not yours.
Oh, I want
it's Wendy's. I that's why I got to go to the game. She said, get me a ring.
Hope she doesn't lose it in a strip poker game versus Gilbert.
Hey, John, anyway, I got your ring. I got your ring anyway, John. Wendy's an AK. I got your ring.
What?
The lines were. Jackie says the lines were ridiculous. We were in line before 7 and got in about the third inning. Also, Clint Shane was already drunk. Well, that was a lock.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I knew that was
cool. Which D-bag Rays player was throwing baseballs at the Astros train? Hashtag Minute Maid.
Oh, somebody was doing that?
Somebody was. Was this before the game? They were throwing.
There's Denmark.
Denmark's already scored?
Yeah, Denmark scored.
Oh, my God. 1-0, Denmark leads. Is it Austria or Australia?
It's Australia.
Austria doesn't ever.
Australia was a little bit of a heckler last World Cup, not this World. I really am pissed the U.S. isn't in it now. I'm watching every match.
Yeah.
Well, I missed the first two or three days. The really good ones. Like I was traveling, and I'm watching, keeping track on my phone. Portugal, the incredible game between Portugal and Spain.
Yeah.
I'm like, that's when I was traveling to Chicago. I missed it. I'm like, God dog it. I can't believe I missed that game. So now I'm watching these, and I actually saw a match where Iran literally just tried the only thing.
They, like, moved all at one, like, 11, 10 guys just going.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's how you should be moving, though, defensively. But they played a 5-5, basically. Nobody forward.
No.
They would, in fact, when they would get the ball from Spain, they would just boot it to the other side of the field, like, start again. It's like grabbing a defensive rebound and throwing it down the other side of the court with none of your guys there and just making them get the ball and start the possession
again.
And
can somebody explain?
It's like being on a constant penalty kill.
Because they scored. Can somebody explain offside to me? Because that dude didn't look like he was offside.
The other guy who scored, it's when the ball is initially
booted. I know. I get that. But he wasn't behind the defender.
He wasn't offside on the initial kick, but once the first touch, the header, the first touch.
Oh, is that what it was? It's the second touch.
The first touch, then he became offsides because he was beyond the defense when the guy headed it. So on the free kick, he wasn't offsides.
Oh.
But when that guy headed it, he was beyond the last offender, and then he was the first to touch it, so he was offsides.
Oh, God, that's so stupid. Why can't you cherry pick in soccer? Just let everybody. You know what?
You know what's your next sports map article? You're welcome, Dell. Ugly Americans could make rules for soccer and tell us what the sport would look like, what soccer would look like.
It would be like, would be like 20-19. That would be the final score.
Yeah.
Because if you could just sit back there and cherry pick, if Ronaldo could sit back there and cherry pick, how many goals would he score?
He would score a lot of
goals. I know.
Soccer
be awesome.
Could be goals like basketball.
You know what, though? I would shorten the goal. I would make it smaller.
You'd make it smaller.
Yeah.
Why would you make it
because
smaller?
Because then you could have less scoring.
That's no. You want
take
less
notes.
Scoring?
What are you doing?
Well, no,
take
but you
notes.
Could cherry pick, so you'd have more scoring.
Del, will you please start taking notes? John's giving you everything you need for your article.
Okay.
You know, easy. The MLS already tried. We already saw what soccer would be like if the Americans designed it. You remember when they had that like run-up kick like for penalty kicks very early in the MLS?
No, I don't remember that.
Like
what
instead
was
of a penalty kick to the side games, it would be like a 35-yard run-up. You just dribble the ball, and you would see if the goalie could stop you. That's what they started MLS with.
That would be perfect. You know what? I love that. It's like the hockey shootout. You know what?
Yeah, kind of. That's where they got the thought from.
Yeah,
a hockey shootout.
That's perfect.
Idea.
Well, let's do it.
You know, it'd be great.
Let's do it at the World
this
Cup.
This is what I was saying. What can we do to make soccer less like soccer? Yeah, then everyone will like it. Like, soccer's fine the way it is.
Not really.
But, yeah, it is. Hmm. The World Cup is – I've enjoyed all these matches. You know, I did – well, I'm in the middle of watching it, and so I text I texted Chris Ballard about it. I said, do you ever watch – I know he's a big – like, he's a big sports fan. He's a big Rockets fan. We text during the playoffs, but – he's a big Rockets fan, and he's a big baseball fan too. Big Astros fan. And I asked him. I said, "Do you ever go to other sports? Take what am I watching here?"
This is the line. It's 7:30.
Oh my God! I'm too ADD. You can't show me these things when I'm in the middle of talking.
Yeah,
we're like in the four segments and four topics. We haven't finished any of them.
No, none of them.
So getting back to the ring.
Well, let's fix soccer. We've already fixed soccer.
That is unbelievable.
We've already gotten the ring and showed it on television.
That's unbelievable. How
look at the line.
But isn't the process the same to get people through?
Yeah,
what takes longer?
Because everybody got there because of the rain. I think everybody got there at the same time. Everybody, they gave you a ring right as soon as you walked in. As soon as you stand your ticket. But you had to, I mean, they were like really, really diligent about making sure that everybody had a ticket and was to the, and making sure, I mean, and plus all of the security that you got to go through the metal detectors and everything else.
Yeah.
It was a process last night.
Okay. So we got that done. Quickly, I'll just say, so I asked Ballard, I said, do you look at other sports to help you either with team building or recognizing different things with evaluating? He said, yes, I do look at different. He said he's visited with four major league teams already.
Oh, yeah?
About building teams, yeah. Like, I'm not gonna tell his business.
Astros.
But he's visited with four major league teams. Well, they're all well known. But he's done that. You know, he's also gone and studied under the Spurs. It was Dennis Lindsay, the Rockets, the Jazz. He's consulted with their analytics departments 2 years ago when he was with the Chiefs. Mm-hmm. He went to NBA Summer League to go learn more analytics and how they utilize analytics. He went to baseball for the building of the model with minor leagues and how they grow prospects.
Cool.
And yeah, and I thought it was pretty interesting because I know he's wide open to that stuff. And I wanted to know because I see, like when I watch James Harden versus defender, I see wide receiver versus cornerback. And I'm trying to, when I watch, I like look at things that James does and I think, you know, I wonder if that's applicable to what I'm looking for in NFL. The same thing is with soccer. Soccer to me is a lot like basketball. Spacing is incredibly important. They use a lot of give and goes, just like right there, mm-hmm. a ton of give and goes.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what as I was thinking about this, I was thinking, you know what a U.S. fan would say? If they started using more pick and rolls in soccer,
yeah.
that would open things wide up.
Well, I was just going to say, they don't pick nearly as much.
No way. You never see picks.
Yeah.
You don't even really see screens on
no,
corners.
No. And you should.
We got it, Del. Can we
that
get
would
some
be totally
pick and rolls?
Sweet
Have
if
they
you
just
could
not thought about pick and rolls?
If they could
or setting guys up with screens off the ball where you could free them?
Yeah.
Del, why can't we get some pick and rolls or some screens? No, this isn't a bit.
The effect, but I still hate you.
No, this isn't a bit. I'm serious. Why can't you use
Why
screens?
Why can't you use
they
screens?
They allow everything in soccer. You
they
just
screens.
Pull,
oh, yeah,
pull
because
down.
There's
corner kicks.
Yeah, because no one is fouling anyone on corner kicks. Oh, that's right. They're gouging eyes out on
Let
corner
kicks.
Let me
ask you something. This is a serious question.
Just like a rebound.
Can't we do away with all the zone that soccer plays? Like, this is always a zone. What if you have to mark a man, you play true man-to-man? That would be so much better, wouldn't it, Del?
Can we go to break?
Hmm.
Wouldn't man-to-man be really good, John?
Man-to-man would be awesome.
Or you had an illegal defense where you could get a penalty
kick. Illegal defense. If like Del, Iran's defense yesterday.
That's
you know
illegal
what? You know
defense.
What happened with that defense?
And then we have a high-scoring game.
Only one freaking goal was scored.
Yeah, if we called illegal defense on Iran, it'd be like 30.
Would you like to remove goalies from the equation as well?
No,
nobody
goalies can play.
Well, they can stay there, but they can't use their hands.
Can they? I wonder if Clint Capela could be a goalie.
Oh, yeah, here.
Oh, because well, he's like... that wingspan, right? And he's almost 7 foot.
Yeah. No, he could. You know, goalies are freaking big.
No, I know. The one for around was 6'5".
No. Yeah, they're most
Rudy
of them
Rudy Gobert could be a really
good
goalie,
at how big. When we went on up to Portland, and holy crap, goalies, you got to be a big dude.
Yeah.
All right, let's take a break. Here's the guy that was throwing balls at the in warm-ups. Dude was just firing balls up at the train. One of the Rays players, he had a jacket on, so you don't know what number he was.
That's actually pretty funny.
So let's take a quick break. 713-780-3776. And this is actually pretty funny. One guy said, I feel like any tweet could end with, also, Clint Shane was already drunk. Yes, every tweet could end with, also, Clint Shane was already drunk.
Yeah. So here's something that you do need to know. Yes, that guy could be drunk. Yes, you did get a ring yesterday if you went to the game, even though it took you forever. Yes, soccer could get better if they added basketball rules, Dale. But here's something else. My friends over at Bill Advisor, one of the things that you need to know is we live in an era right now where fewer and even people who grew up talking on a phone are not, and I mean tethered to a phone or on a wireless phone at home. You know, the cell phone has made it to where so many people don't communicate anymore. They just text. They don't verbally communicate. Well, Bill Advisor says they get that. You want to text us, we can do the whole thing through text, or we can just get started through text. You type go to 232323, and what Bill Advisor will do is they will start getting and acquiring your bills. They'll pour through them, and any additional fees that are on there, they're going to go and get rid of. But the more important thing is they know how much you should be charged. They know what other people are getting charged. And so if you're one of those people who have been paying your bills for years and years, been a loyal customer, they're taking advantage of you more than anybody else that companies are. So home phone, cell phone, energy bills, you've got internet. All of these are things that can be renegotiated. Go find out at BillAdvisor.com what they can negotiate for you. And their average savings is $800 to $900 annually when you sign up with them. And it costs you just $150 per year. It's $12.99 per month. Let them start renegotiating your bills and you can start saving big. I saved $2,000 the first year, $1,400 in year two, and I am actually not even on the high end. There's people who save way more. Go to BillAdvisor.com or text go to 232323.
Houston is all systems go. We love our Astros in Houston and all across the Lone Star State.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Presented by Coors Light. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Here we go. Back here on ESPN 97.5. 713-780-3776 if you want to get in here. 713-780-3776. First of all, big ups. Oh, Jose, can I tell you, Altuve, holy crap, when that dude is on, Eovaldé had no chance against Altuve
last
night.
This has been going on for a little while for Altuve, too.
He's up to 340 now.
Yeah, he was at 308, and since then, he's just been smashing.
He was on it last. When he's seeing the baseball, that thing looks like a freaking watermelon to him. He doubled in the first. I guess we did get in there in the first inning because I saw his double. He doubled in the first, and then his next at bat over the train track. Holy crap! That train was under siege more than a Tampa Bay Ray player throwing at it. Holy crap! Jose Altuve, Eovaldé would have been much better off just going, you know what? You know what? I got to walk this guy because the league is under siege by Jose Altuve. He is on fire.
The league has been under siege for over 5 years.
But
Jose Altuve has been holding the league, the pitchers, for hostage for years.
I'm kind of, who was it, Dell? Who was it last year made the insinuation that Altuve was on steroids?
Rob Dibble.
You remember that?
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember when he said that?
Don't be careful what you're about to say.
What am I about to say? I'm about to say Rob Dibble should be shot because okay. Every time Altuve, there is absolutely no chance that Jose Altuve is on steroids. Zero.
No.
Zero chance.
Why do you say that?
Well, first of all, there's no indication of it for whatsoever.
What is the indication?
That he would insinuate that just sucks.
Well, what is the indication? I mean, I don't even know anymore because there's so many different types. It's not the massive.
No, right.
What we used to think was steroids, like Barry Bonds. Well, that's one thing.
And, Mark McGwire.
But there's so many different. I was told there's so many different ways to stack and different things. Like for Altuve, I'm not saying he does this, but I'm saying there's the ability it can improve your explosiveness, which is your twitch, your hand speed, things like that you can generate power.
But every time now he homers.
His is not about hitting for power. He just has phenomenal bat control.
He's unbelievable.
There's no steroids for bat control.
Right. No, he go the other way. He can hit. And he doesn't hit for power. He just hits line drives. And when they jump off, when that ball jumps off of his bat, it is there is no doubt about it. We are watching something really, really special right now. And I don't appreciate him enough. I know that. Because you asked yesterday, well, is he as good as Jose Altuve? Is he as good as Deshaun Watson? Well, now, that's a different thing.
Dude.
Right.
Altuve is,
we're watching something. I don't know that we do appreciate what he is.
I do. I've never seen, all my years of watching Astros, I mean, I had I had the argument with the guy, you know that, and then I end up writing an article that, like, Altuve's better than Biggio. I'm sorry. He's the best Astro that's ever played. It's just a matter of time just has to tick off the clock.
Yeah.
I get you got to respect the duration. But if we're talking about a skill set at their prime, I've never seen anybody better than Jose Altuve.
Now, Biggio's three-year run was pretty damn good.
It was really good.
Not this.
No, I mean, it depends on what you want to, you know, classify. I just know that Jose Altuve hits in the postseason. He hits in a regular season.
Yeah.
He gets clutch hits. He fields his position great. He is a catalyst on that team in terms of, you know, Biggio was a real pro, but Biggio was not going to be the guy that lit up the locker room and had guys loose. I mean, I think Altuve, I remember asking, I think it was Jeff Leno or AJ Hinch when I was doing interviews the other place about if, because I just assumed that we were talking about the life and energy of the room was George Springer. And he goes, yeah, Springer's definitely one guy. He said, but, you know, Jose Altuve is a guy who is not only, he said, he is really, and this is about 3 years ago, he said, he's really a guy that everyone gravitates towards. He said, and he's, you know, he's the leader. Like he is, you saw what he did with Lance McCullers.
Yeah.
He's got that leadership and he keeps things loose.
There was this question the other night. We're hanging out, and the question was: I don't want to say most. I don't know how to put it. The leader.
I think it's Altuve. I know where you're getting at.
It could.
But, they said that Beltran added something.
No, I'm talking about Verlander. Verlander changed the entire locker room last year. When Verlander got here,
he said Beltran did some of that too.
Yeah. Beltran was a guy that everybody respected. But if you look, when you look at the guys in that locker room, boy, you want to talk about a locker room with up and coming Correa and Springer, how good he is. But Altuve, who's the best player in the league, one of the best players in the league. But you got Verlander with his stature and what he brings. I don't know that they don't. Is Verlander the most respected? Would you put it that way?
I don't know if that's, I mean, as a veteran, yeah, I don't know how you're more respected than Jose Altuve. MVP, uber consistent, in his prime,
but
fun guy, leader. Like,
but
Verlander's only been here, he hasn't been here a whole year.
Yeah, but Verlander's already established that as one of the best in the league in his era.
So he's going to get that in any locker room he goes into. But in terms of, you almost have to disqualify him. He hasn't been here a full year.
But again, everything changed when Verlander got here.
Well, what do you mean by that?
Well, because they were not. I don't think they looked at themselves as a real World Series contender. Don't forget, they went through that horrific time in August, mm-hmm. and they were like, this team was just floundering along. It was just going along after a great start. But I don't think they believed the disappointed Dallas, all the injuries and everything else. When Verlander got here, it was like, oh my God, we can do this.
Yeah, he was the final tumbler to the combination, to unlock the World Series. I mean, there's no question about that. And Justin Verlander gives you, like, that's the difference between going from a two Michelin star restaurant to the three Michelin star. He's that third Michelin star where you were already a phenomenal restaurant, but he's the guy that turned you into the world class best in the league type of, because in what he does is he adds instant credibility from a championship standpoint. He added instant credibility from a game seven standpoint, you know, a one game elimination. Like if you got Verlander on the mound, that's going to be hard to beat him.
Well, that's exactly. And pitching staff. I got to pick up my game, my next start, because that guy's standing in the dugout watching me.
And you know, I love Dallas Keuchel, has been a great Astro, but sometimes I wonder, and I had no problem with Dallas Keuchel making his comments after the trade deadline, zero, and I defended him, and I still do. But, you know, sometimes you just wonder, like Verlander has that old school. You say you don't comment on this. You don't comment on that. You take the heat when you need it. Even when you don't need to take the heat, you're going to take the heat. You don't throw teammates under. And I'm not saying Keuchel throws teammates under the bus. It's just he's got so frustrated for two starts in a row that he was making comments that seemed a little out of tune for what a pitcher usually says. You know what I mean? Like 11 of those hits should have been outs. Well, Verlander would have never said something.
No. However, though, I think, and we got to take a break.
Charlie Morton just said,
I talked to somebody in the organization that said he was sitting there and Keuchel was sitting there and he goes, I don't know what the hell is going on. I'm 3-8. This is when he goes, I'm 3-8. Can you believe I'm 3-8? And on this team, I don't know how to explain it. And I think he was having and still is having a real hard time even contemplating what the hell is going on in this season for him. Because he's like, what the hell?
He's been better than 3-8, but he hasn't been a lot better than 5-6 or 6-5. Like,
well, let's not forget, again, in six of his losses, they scored one or fewer runs for him.
No, I get it, but he didn't.
No, he didn't know, but even still, of them he pitched pretty good.
This is his, I can go look it up, but I think this is on par with his 2000, all of his numbers across the board on par with 2016. That wasn't a good year.
And second half of last year.
Yeah, second half of last, yeah.
He was average.
Yeah, no doubt about that. But no.
But here's the thing is he doesn't get it. What happened to the first half guy? What happened to 2015, Keuchel? Where is he?
I would love for, you know, guy, like I have a lot of respect for Jeff Blum. I think he brings so much to the broadcast. I would love it if he's an old school baseball guy who's, you address certain things, you don't show guys up and all that. I would love for him to really break that down, or somebody in the organization to say, here's why Dallas Keuchel was such a killer in early 17, and here's the difference right now. I would love for somebody who's got video access and who knows what they're doing to go do that. Because I'm legitimately curious. You couldn't touch at Dallas Keuchel in 2017 to start the season. You couldn't touch him for the whole first half.
Uh-huh. All right.
Let's talk about Minsky Clinic. Let's talk about I was there yesterday, saw my man Michael, big LSU guy, as a matter of fact. And we were, you know, he's the provider there. This is really, really important. If you don't have somebody who is basically your doctor monitoring everything to make sure that you're optimal levels, well, then what are you doing at that company? Because there are companies out there who will do that you're just somebody they roll through and they roll through and they roll through and like just turn and burn. That's never going to be the case at Minsky Clinic. They want to know what your optimal levels of testosterone are. First of all, they diagnose if you're low or not. And if you are not low, then they're not going to treat you because that's a health concern. Other people will treat you. And if that's what you're looking for, then have at it, because that's not the kind of company the Minsky Clinic is. This is a respectable company who gets results. I know for a fact because I've gotten results from those guys. And if you are out there really trying to make it happen for yourself with working out and eating properly and you don't see the results, you are going to see results extremely quickly with Men's T Clinic, because all those workouts are going to matter more. You're going to see the lean muscle mass start to improve. And that this isn't even talking about energy level, your drive, your focus, libido. There's so many different variables that are going to be improved if they're an issue for you. Go to mensteaclinic.com for more information about the company. But I'm telling you firsthand, this is a company that you can trust that will give you results. Mensteaclinic.com, Cypress, Pearland, you've got Pasadena, and you've got the Heights location. Make sure you stop in and get that testosterone check today.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Presented by Coors Light. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Got my ring. What's his name? Niall. Niall said he left in the fourth. Niall, how about...
Niall is... kind of unbelievable.
He's a big Astro fan.
Big Astro. Well, I guess he's a big Astro fan. You know, he has season tickets. So he goes to every game and he cash so he can get his ticket scanned. And if you have perfect attendance at the end of the year, they like give you a little bat or something. So he goes to every game. Mm-hmm. He lives, I don't know, down in Pearland or somewhere. Mm-hmm. He drives up just to get his ticket scanned, doesn't stay at the game, goes home. He does this every game, every home game, so that he has perfect attendance, so that he gets a little bat or whatever they
but
give
him. But he's paying for tickets.
Yeah.
Just buy the bat with the money.
That was my point. Why the hell? And oh, by the way, the traffic, the lines, the rain, the everything, you do this every game. So he went last night. He left. He said he left in the fourth inning, and the line was still around. It was unbelievable. I don't know why it takes so long. Jackie said, well, everybody had to try on their ring, get the right. No, Jackie, they were all the same size. So, no, but for whatever reason, when you're trying to get, I guess because of the rain, that you couldn't, listen, I've never seen traffic like it around the park either. It was worse than the World Series. It was worse.
Worse than the World Series?
Well, it was raining.
Yeah.
It was, the rain was just a killer.
I tell you what, we still didn't get as much rain as we could have gotten over the last 3 days. We somehow dodged a bullet. Like, the weather patterns moved some of the heavy rains actually around us, at least in a lot of parts.
I kind of miss when we had windows in here.
Yeah, it's,
you know, that whole, wouldn't that be neat if you could actually see outside? You know what, in a room, a regular room?
Yeah, it's a cave now.
You know, look up.
Hey, I want to give props to our afternoon show, The Blitz. They were on yesterday, and there's a PK goal. So Australia's on the board now, 1-1. They were across the street at the Hyatt, and they had Adrian Peterson.
I heard the interview.
And I thought it was a really good interview. I thought Adrian was really, really good, and they did a good job with questions. Adrian opened up about, you know, some of the thoughts about Minnesota and the Saints. It was a wide open interview, and I thought it was a really good interview. If you want to listen, I'm sure I haven't even looked on podcasts. I don't know if they've separated that interview from that hour. But the Adrian Peterson interview is well worth your time at podcastarena.com.
Yeah, good, really good interview. Ryan says, I heard an interview with Blummer a week or so ago. He said that Dallas Keuchel's pitches are flat, not getting the movement they were getting. He also said it doesn't seem like he's in attack mode like he was back then. I couldn't agree more with that. He doesn't seem like he is as confident. I don't know. He doesn't seem like he has as much confidence in his fastball. And when he doesn't, and if you know that sinker is coming, if it starts at the knees, you're just letting it go. It seems like guys are waiting him out a lot more. Mm-hmm. And he's not able to hit his corners and hit the lower end of the strike zone like he was.
Yeah.
So that's That's the biggest problem. And then when you know, he's got to come into a guy, he doesn't have the kind of stuff that's overpowering like the other guys do. I mean, let's face it, everybody in that rotation now it seems like he has a lot more power than Dallas Keuchel does.
No, and they do.
Yeah.
And he's a different, but he should be able to, you know, you would think he could play off of that, especially who's he after right now?
But if he doesn't have that pinpoint accuracy like Maddox did or Glavin did back in the day, how can he win?
Dominant? Obviously is going to start with location. That's a non-starter if you don't have your location. But Blummer said something I think is pretty interesting. We can, you know, all that when you have a guy who throws who is not a hard thrower, there's a tendency to think you got to be real fine and hit your spots. I think that's where they get in trouble, because if you got a pinpoint guy, when you're in a rhythm, you can do that. But Plummer talking about attack mode.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times those guys, you think that they get afraid to throw certain pitches. I wonder if there are certain pitches he's shying away from for fear that they will get hit hard. Like when Jeff Blum talks about attacking, I'm curious what he means. Is it earlier in the count he's not attacking? Is he not going after guys with two strikes? Mm-hmm. I'm curious to what he means by that.
Mm-hmm. Let's get Jim in here. He wants to talk about Altuve and Keuchel. What do you say, Jim?
Yeah, hey, guys. Just wanted to kind of add to your comments about Altuve and then a brief comment on Keuchel. But I guess speaking on behalf of lifelong Astro fan and the kind of guy who can watch a nine-inning game straight through, and I watch the Astros all the freaking time. Plus, I moonlight as a hitting instructor for about 8 or 9 years now, so I have a kind of a keen interest in the intricacies of hitting. And make no mistake about it, I mean, I think hardcore, not hardcore, but really true Astro fans right now appreciate Altuve and the greatness that he has. I think it's pretty clear he is Pete Rose with more speed and power, and it's just a matter of longevity before, you know, he's at the top of the list of the Astro greats. I think the casual Astro fan that's probably arrived with the Astros with the success of playoffs, you know, they see Altuve on a 5-hour energy commercial. He's cute. He's good. But they don't realize the greatness that he is displaying right now. And to literally bat 340, batting 300 is considered a great hitter. You're failing 7 out of 10 times. But this guy, when he gets on a roll, I mean, he's must-see TV. You saw it last night. We saw it a few weeks ago when he, you know, banged out about, what, it was 10 to 12 great hits. I'm like, not everybody does that. There's not a whole lot of people in this world that can do that. And this guy in our city, I mean, he's just flat-out phenomenal. And I think it's just really the casual fan is really not realizing what they're seeing. Mm. And over time, I think, you know, hopefully they will. As far as Keuchel, you know, to me, it seems like every damn time I watch him pitch, he never has a clean first inning. It is the most frustrating viewing experience. And as a player behind him and him personally, it seems like he can never get out of the first inning without, you know, either a run or extended pitch count. And it seems to put him behind the eight ball right out of every start. It's just kind of, I don't know if he has ever tried changing up his routine. If he hasn't, he needs to do it again. But somehow I'd love to see, you know, 2 to 3 games where maybe there's 3 up, 3 down, and see what happens. But, you know, that's just kind of my thoughts on Keuchel as well. He seems that first inning, he seems to be a pain in the butt.
Yeah. Thanks, Jim. Appreciate it.
Good stuff, Jim. And the other thing that makes him special, Altuve, going back to Altuve, is that he was upset that he wasn't as successful against breaking pitches as he thought he should be. So he made it his obsession before last season with working on nothing but like curveballs in the offseason. Curveballs. He hit 400 against curveballs last year. He took a weakness and made it a strength. I mean, that's the definition of, I know Dream did some of that stuff too. Michael Jordan said, I can't shoot a three-pointer, so I'm going to go out and just work on threes exclusively. You know, when you are adding stuff to your game, LeBron did it with his low post play when he wasn't doing low, you know, he's this big and he's not taking advantage of his size. Altuve, and that's the one thing that I think always kind of haunted Bij a little bit was that slider away. He just never seemed to solve slider away. And that's a hard pitch. It's a really hard pitch. Altuve found a weakness. And he said, I'm not going to let you exploit me. And granted, exploiting was like he had hit 270 against curveballs a year before, I want to say, or for his career. But he went out there and said, "You're not. I'm closing this loophole. I'm closing this little hole up. You're not going to be able to do this anymore." Man, it's one thing to approach it. It's another to conquer it. And he did both. He approached it. He conquered it. That's why that's why he's the best hitter in the game today. You want to argue about hitters for power and all that stuff? That's fine. We can, you know, there's different flavors of ice cream. But this is now year five that he's about to have 200 hits again.
Yep.
5 years in a row. Now, Pete Rose had a crap ton of them, but he also played for about 174 years.
Right. 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776.
Did you have to eat any Thrive yesterday, by the way?
Well, you do because...
Did you have to last night when you're waiting in those lines? Because you actually can't be pounding beers while you're waiting in line. I don't think they allow you to do that. Well, I mean, you're not supposed to. I guess if you're wearing a heavy jacket with pockets, you potentially could.
No, we had to get out and walk. But my buddy had his...
Oh, no. Oh, you got a walking.
We had to walk from a couple of blocks.
A walking sip.
Yeah, of course we had the bread cups with us, and we were drinking. And we had to... But we did have to throw them out right as we got to the door and the metal detector. So we had to do... We did have to throw them out before that, which was very disappointing. But the fact of the matter is that when you have some cocktails, is that you need to take Thrive Plus. And I dropped three capsules last night after the night was over, and I feel tremendous today. And you know why I feel tremendous? It's because of Thrive Plus. If you're looking for a great way to get through a day after you've had a couple, and it doesn't matter how many you've had, if you have a couple of red wines at night, you're not going to feel 100%. Well, you can, and I'm not guaranteeing you're going to feel 100%, but you're going to feel better, at least 50% better, or Thrive Plus will give you your money back. Now, how do you quantify that? I don't know. Well, I don't know how you do that, but here's the deal, is they say, if you don't feel better, 50% better, then we will give you your money back. That's a guarantee, okay? So why don't you try Thrive Plus? Go to decidethrive.com. Pick you up some capsules. To feel better the next day, it costs about $3. Okay? How's that? Is that any good? And you're in Houston. It's a Houston company. You'll probably have the bottle of capsules tomorrow. So all you have to do is go to DecideThrive.com. That's DecideThrive.com.
Is The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Presented by Coors Light. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Were we even up before, or did you just put us on now on the stream, though?
Well, you were up. I mean...
We were in preview, but we weren't in program.
You were showing off your ring. People saw it.
Yeah, oh, they did see it?
Go flex again.
Well, I could go flex with my ring again if you want. If you people want that, then let me know. Okay, let me ask you this. You said Pete Rose had a boat ton. How many 200 hit seasons did Pete Rose?
I think he had 10.
10.
Yeah.
How many times did he lead the league in hitting?
Six.
Three.
How's that possible?
What did he hit? What was his career average?
Pete Rose, he played for that long. I'm going to say 303. Okay. Pretty good. What we learned there was that Jose I'm incredible Altuve's? At making guesses.
Yes. What's Jose Altuve's?
Right now?
His career average.
325.
319.
Okay. Another great guess.
How many times did he lead the league in hitting?
So far?
Yeah.
Three.
Four.
All four of those 200 hit seasons?
No. One 200 hit season, he didn't. He hit 313. That didn't lead the league. Mm-hmm. Five straight 200 hit seasons. No, well, this will be five straight 200 hit seasons.
Pete never had.
Wait a minute. He led the league in hitting three times. He leads the league in hitting now. And he will lead. This will be his fourth year of leading the league in hitting. So he's only led, they both led three. Now he's played 15 fewer years than Pete Rose. So he has already led the league three times in hitting. This will be his fourth. This will be his fourth. Pete Rose leads all of Major League Baseball in hits, at bats, plate appearances, and games. Played the most games ever.
Yeah.
So, I mean, his numbers are great. Don't get me wrong, and especially the longevity of it. But you would think that I don't know, 303. But you got to play a long freaking time to have 4,256 hits.
Yeah,
I'm just worried.
Altuve may never get there.
The way that Jose Altuve plays too, he plays hard. He just slides into second and
home.
Yeah,
but not harder than Pete. Pete was head first on everything. He was a lunatic.
That's true.
He once ended a guy's career in an all-star game.
Yeah, that's true.
With a collision at the plate. Pete, dude, you know what Pete could never do? Play in a rookies versus sophomore game basketball game in the NBA all-star game.
No.
Where there's no, or really any NBA all-star game where you're supposed to be, hey guys, let's not play hard until the fourth quarter. Pete would be out there just.
What about an NFL All Pro Bowl?
That's the softest of all, and with good reason.
Yeah, right. Let me ask you this question.
Okay.
How can you stop? Did you see Mexico's gotten fined? $10,000. They've been fined $10,000
for what?
For their fans chanting discriminatory and insulting chants from fans at the German goalkeeper, Manuel Neuer, during Sunday's game. Homophobic slurs at the goalkeeper.
So basically, this is them saying, get your mans.
They've been, well, basically,
Mexico, get your mans.
Mexican fans have been doing that since I've been alive.
They're not.
Yeah.
They've been chanting that particular word at goalkeepers when they attempt a free kick, not a free kick, but a goal kick. Since I've been alive.
Does it start with my daughter's name, Maddie?
Maddie.
I thought it started with they do that, I think.
Does it start with a P?
They do one with the C, too.
Oh, I know what you're saying.
You do? Okay.
And it ends with
Del. You can just say it.
Yeah.
All you do is cuss in Spanish.
That's right. You do, Del. Didn't you yesterday?
You just cuss in Spanish on the show all the time.
Didn't you drop a ching?
Once a week.
A Brian Ching?
Hey, who's coming up on the show today? Brian Ching.
Yeah.
Brian Ching.
That's real close to being a Spanish bad word.
He'll
that
be
you
here
said on the
9:45 today, Brian Ching. Talk about the World Cup. He's got a new soccer-themed establishment in town as well.
Ching guest today. Ching a guest today on the show.
Brian Ching is
Brian
a guest?
Ching on, is Ching on, is on Ching's on the show today.
Yeah.
Ching's on.
Well.
Ching the show. Ching on the show.
I don't know how Mexico gets their man because they've been doing that for infinity.
Okay, then you just keep getting fined unless you get your mans. Just like that. And then tell them this.
But how can
next up, we're going to give them a penalty kick. I bet they shut up if they know a PK's coming. The fans know a PK's coming against
their
team.
How do you stop it? How can the club control the fans with their chants?
I don't know. You have an announcement. You say, hey, guys.
Hey.
You're going to.
Yeah.
I don't know how you
can y'all stop the homophobic slurs.
How do you penalize?
Thank you.
You got to say, hey, if you do it, we're going to get penalized. I don't know. Do you give the entire club or team a yellow card? I don't know how you penalize the actual team on the field.
Yeah. I don't know. You just keep fining the Mexican club.
Or you say, if you're a Mexico supporter, you're not allowed in the building. No matter what.
You're not going to. What?
Sorry.
If you drop they cool.
Do, they do that in international soccer. Like if a team or fans have been seen or heard chanting something particularly racist, they will hold the game in that building, but nobody will be able to enter. Like they'll suspend fans from watching the game.
Wow.
They'll play the game, but the fans won't be allowed in the building.
Wow.
They have done that in the past.
Hmm. That seems excessive.
Well, stop doing what you're doing then.
Well, I mean.
And they also do the P. Yeah, P word as well, Lance.
Hmm.
And the M word?
The poo.
Oh.
You hear that a lot.
Yeah. All right, when we come back, Bill O'Brien thinks they're in a good place.
So do you, right?
I do think they're in a good place.
Let me tell you where they're not in a good place. Well, and I'll give you my thoughts on their new tackle they just picked up.
Yeah.
Because nothing's better than when a tackle hits the waiver wire in the offseason.
From the Browns.
What do you think? Can he start? What do you think? He got cut by the Browns in the offseason. You just lost Joe Thomas.
Where are we going to be tomorrow, Lance?
We're going to be at Prime. And just out of curiosity, I know you had said the other day you were going to.
Yesterday.
It was yesterday. You told me you were going to Prime. Yeah. social to play some poker, get in a poker tournament every noon. It starts. Yep. There's Wednesday's
Omaha.
Is Omaha Day, and every other day is No Limit Hold'em. How? What do you have in a you have an envelope?
No, that's different. That's something different. But I couldn't keep all my money from the tournament in that little thing, in that little envelope.
Oh, you had to pay?
Yeah, I had. No, I couldn't keep all the money I won in that.
It's won.
All the money I won. It's too small.
So you won money yesterday?
Yeah. Oh. Chip leader.
Yep. And guess what? That's what happens when you go. I won money in the last tournament 3 weeks ago. In the No Limit Hold'em, I made it to the final table. I've made it to the final table in 2 out of 3. And I'm not a professional player by any stretch of the imagination. But let me tell you something. You got a chance to win every time you step in prime. The tournaments start at noon every single day except Sunday when it starts at 2 o'clock. If that's your thing playing tournaments, head on out to prime. If your thing is playing in 1 and 3 No Limit Hold'em games, you want to sit down for like a neighborhood game where you take your $300 and bring your chips in there, you can do that too. $200-$300 to start with and enjoy yourself. Prime Social is where we're going to be tomorrow. Our tournament jumps off tomorrow. Bounty on me, bounty on John. If you knock either one of us out after the break, you are going to be able to get a $100 chip that is yours to keep if and when you knock us out. Go to PrimeSocialTX.com for more information, but make sure that you get out there. If you haven't been to a tournament yet, where it's a radio station tournament, then you got to go. They're a lot of fun. Last week, Robert Ford, not the broadcaster, a longtime listener, he was at the final table. When I got knocked out, he was still in making money. So it happens all the time. A listener actually won the tournament 3 weeks ago. So make sure, or I should say 4 weeks ago, make sure that you visit our friends over at Prime Social tomorrow. 7801 Westheimer will be there broadcasting and playing in the tournament. 7801 Westheimer, just west of Hillcroft. It's Prime Social.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.